Every historian and every survey of world history ultimately examines each era, each time, and specifically, who were the powers of that day? Who were the rulers, the leaders, the czars and the Caesars and the governors and the presidents? Who was it that was commanding and ruling in the day? Each history and each era examines this topic. And within every human heart, there's a desire to have a perfect ruler, a perfect leader, someone who doesn't err in his or her judgments, who is always looking out for the best interests of his or her subjects and making all the right calls. Each of us wants a leader like that. Even in movies and in novels, there's this aspiration for perfection. But we know it always, 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 always falls short. Even the leaders who would tell you that they're perfect, think of the ancient Roman Caesars or the emperors of the Far East who asked that their subjects revere them as gods, as perfection incarnate. We have to examine them and say they were putting on some kind of mask. Not every decision they made was just. Not every call they made was the right one. There's always this mixture. We haven't yet found that perfect leader, even though our hearts desire it. We're all left singing that old U2 song that we still haven't found what we're looking for. We're looking for perfection. We're looking for someone who will not err, who will always govern us in judgment and right ways. And you know this personally, as I do, if you've ever led anything, even if it was a peewee hockey team or a t-ball team, you know you don't always make the right call. There are errors in our judgment. We fail even in our small tasks of leadership. This is the state of all the world and of all of human history. We long for perfection, even though we fall short time and time again. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some leaders that history would judge better than others. Some leaders who made more right decisions and history would judge them as good leaders. And then on the other side, leaders who made more bad decisions and some who made really, really, really bad decisions. And we would call them and judge them as bad leaders or really bad leaders and rulers and kings. But each has his flaws as well as his successes. Each leader, each human mortal has a mix of the good and a mix of the bad. And this is where the Jewish people, the people of Israel, found themselves desiring perfection, desiring someone who would rule them and lead them in ways of right and ways of justice. When the people escaped Egypt and they fled slavery with Moses leading them through the Red Sea and then leading them through the desert, eventually they found themselves in the Promised Land, the place that they wanted to be, the place where things would be set aright. And they lived in their different tribes and they had different judges who ruled them for a time. But then at a certain point, they wanted one leader, one king. They begged the prophet of the day, Samuel, give us a king. We want to be like everybody else around us. All the countries, all the tribes, all the others around us have kings. And we want a king. We want someone who will rule us and lead us. And Samuel told the people, I don't think you know what you're asking for. You see, the people wanted something that really was unattainable, some kind of perfect king, someone who would lead them in perfection. And even the Lord was telling Samuel, tell the people, this isn't what they want. If I give them a king, he'll take their sons and he'll put them in the military. He'll take their lands. He'll make bad calls. But still the people begged. No, we want a king. We want someone who will govern us and lead us. You see, the father's heart was that he would be the one to lead them. He alone wanted to govern and rule and be the just and right king for his people. But because they kept begging, he said, okay, I'll give you what you want. And he gave them the king whose name was Saul. And Saul ruled for a time and did some good things. And then, of course, he turns his back on the Lord and makes some bad decisions. And he falls out of his kingship. And he's replaced by David, the great king who slays Goliath and rules the nation in justice. And he's really, in some ways, an iconic king. But then again, he fails and he has marital problems and falls into adultery and makes some bad calls. And then era after era, the kings that would follow David, some were good, some were bad, but each were flawed in some way. This is what the Lord had told them. This is what will happen. And eventually, the people are carted off to exile. They depart the promised land again. And they come back eventually. They're wrestling with the Greeks and other occupiers. And then they're finally occupied by the Romans. But all throughout this time, they're waiting and waiting and hoping for a king who will be just, a king who will be perfect, a king who will rule them with right judgment. And this is where the people of Israel were when Jesus came. They were waiting for that perfect king who would govern them. And so the Father sent his Son. This is where the feast day that we celebrate today fits in, that the longing for perfection, the longing for a just and right king was finally fulfilled. It was finally fulfilled in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who rules not just one nation or one tribe, but who rules all the universe. Nothing escapes his love. Nothing escapes his wanting to rule and govern and bring all people to protection. That's what Jesus wants, and that's what the Father finally sent. He sent this one who was the only one who could fulfill the desires of the people's hearts. This is what we hear in the book of Revelation today, that Jesus would rule over every other king and every other ruler in perfection. We hear that Jesus Christ himself is the ruler of the kings of the earth. He rules over all, and he does it perfectly and rightly. And if we ever are tempted to put our trust and our hope in any kind of mortal king, Jesus is there to correct us and show us, no, you're putting your trust someplace where we'll ultimately will fail. Even Psalm 146, the psalmist says, put not your trust in princes. Put not your trust in mortals who will ultimately fail. They'll make some good decisions, but they'll make some bad ones. Put not your trust in them, but put your trust in me, in the king who will rule perfectly. There's an example of this in the 16th century, some 500 years ago, when during the English Reformation, you remember King Henry VIII tried to bring all power to himself, and he wanted everyone to sign a decree that he had written that he alone was the sole and supreme head of the Church of England. And he made some bad calls, and some people resisted that, one of them being St. Thomas More, one of his good friends, the Chancellor of England at the time. And Thomas More wrestled with this. He loved his friend. He loved his country. He wanted perfection in his judgments, but he saw the mortal, manly flaws in his king. And so ultimately, he had to reject what Henry was offering and put his trust not in princes, but in the King of Kings. And this led all the way to Thomas's death. He never disobeyed and he never disrespected the king, but it ultimately led to his rejection and to his own death, losing his head. But when Thomas More, right before he was martyred, they asked him if he had any last words, this is what he said. Thomas said, I die the king's good servant, but God's first. He recognized that even though the King of England deserved his respect and his obedience, he couldn't give him his complete allegiance because he had to give that only to God. He had to give that only to the one who was perfect and who could lead in complete justice and complete rightness. And this is what each of us is called to, brothers and sisters. In our world leaders, in whatever era and whatever country we ever live in, we must always put our trust not in the mortal men, in those princes that we can see, but in the one whom we can't see, who rules over all and who gives all good things. This is the feast that we celebrate today and the king that we swear our allegiance to. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, he has a great line of helping us understand how God in his providence allows leaders all throughout times and how he still brings good with bad situations. Benedict said that the feast we celebrate today, the feast of Christ the King, is a feast for those who know that they are in the hands of one who writes straight on crooked lines. There's lots of crooked lines all throughout the world and all throughout time and history, but the Lord, who is King of Kings, can still write straight on those lines. He can still hold us in his love and in his providence. So today, let's swear our allegiance only to him. Let us give all our heart to the King who loves us, who welcomes us, and who rules over all the universe.